you guys today. I hope you view that as a thing to encourage and challenge you. And I believe it's this time of year, the Lord always gives me a lot of words for the upcoming year. I love the New Year's. I love the opportunity to come in and to have a fresh jump, a fresh start on a new year, to come in and recalibrate. And because a lot of times we get off during the year a little bit, and we need that recalibration. We need that recalibration. And I absolutely love that. I'm a goal setter, and I want to be more than just a goal setter, but my nature is to be a goal setter. And so I'm excited about 2020, and all the opportunities, all of the kingdom stuff that's before us, all the life that's before us, all the adventure that's before us. Is anybody else in here? Y'all excited about 2020? Are y'all dreading it, or are you pumped about it? I'm pumped about it. I think 2020 is going to be amazing. I am so excited about 2020. I'm excited about the word the Lord gave me a while back was faith that explores. And so I think that 2020 for us is going to be a big year of exploration in the physical, in the supernatural, in the spiritual. But I want us to come in and I want us to understand the reality of some things that it's just life. And kind of share where I'm at with you guys right now and the conversations the Lord and I've had recently. And just some clarity and some understanding that he's been given to me. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you and many of y'all were contending, for Olive Hagenthal. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. She was a 2-year-old child, Callie's, daughter, and, she just stopped breathing. Inexplicably, she just stopped breathing. Callie's one of the worship leaders at Bethel, and we absolutely love her. She's just a tremendous worship leader. Her daughter just stopped breathing, and the doctors declared her dead and all of that, and they held out for about a week and just believed for resurrection. There was the whole global community, Bethel, the Friends of Bethel, like I said, worldwide, many of you, that are so closely connected to Bethel just contended for the resurrection of this young girl. And she wasn't resurrected. And with that, we come in and we're like, what the heck? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, God, if the fervent prayers and the contention of 200,000 or 300,000 people don't move in this, then what are my one prayers? Anybody else feel that sometimes? I'm just trying to be real this morning. I want to, if you want to put a title on this sermon this morning, it'll be Body Blows. Because the enemy comes in and it's like a boxing match and the enemy hits us with body blows. He didn't come in for the knockout punch and say, man, I'm going to take you out. If he came in and said, I'm going to rob you of your faith, I'm going to rob you of your calling, I'm going to rob you of all of this, Tyler, and he just swung for your head, he's not going to connect. He's not going to land. But it's the body blows that wear us down. It's the body blows that cause us to drop our gloves. It's the body blows that take a toll on us. I preached a sermon years and years ago. Some of them just stick with you. Things that dull the blade. And I said, very rarely do we run across a stump cutting grass, but it's the day in and day out of cutting and the little pebbles that get sucked up in it that dull the blade. And it's the body blows of the enemy, and that's one of the body blows. So where we come in and we're like, ah. If Heidi Baker and Bill Johnson and these big heroes of the faith, man, if they can't, then who am I, Lord? People that you've used to change the world and change a nation, and who am I? And so it's a body blow from the enemy. And the reality is, we're gonna deal with body blows this year. I'm excited about this year. I believe that this year is gonna be a year of blessing and all, but it's also gonna be a year of that we're gonna take some body blows from the enemy. And it's how we respond to this and how we deal with these things and how we look to the Lord in these things is gonna determine how successful we are in life. Coupled with that, I've had some health issues recently, and with this. About 4 or 5 years ago, I had hip replacement surgery on this one. I've got arthritis in my hips. When they did the hip replacement on this one, I set all the metal detectors off. I'm going through the airport. You know, I was going through yesterday, and he's like, "What you got in your pocket right there, man?" "Man, I ain't got nothing. I had a hip replacement." You know, say, do the scan and all that stuff. But when I had that hip replacement, the doctor told me, he said, "You'll be back to see me in about a year." Because he said the right one's about as bad as the left one. And so, man, me being a man of faith, Jeffrey, I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me." And so I went about 4 years of good. I mean good. Last 2 years were like, you know, y'all heard me stand on this pulpit and say, "God, heal my hip and all that stuff." Well, about 6 weeks ago, the wheels fell off the bus. I mean fell off the bus. And it's like, you know, I struggle with tying my shoes right now. Tell you how bad it is. I got Brett Kent to buckle my ski boots for me one day, and that is not who I am. But I was like, "Brett, I can't reach them. Will you buckle my ski boots?" I mean, that's humbling right there. You get Brett, say, "Come on, Brett, buckle my ski boots for me, dog." And so I'm meeting with the orthopedic in 2 weeks, and we're gonna schedule hip replacement surgery, and I'm gonna get it fixed if I can figure it in my schedule sometime this year. And I might be like, "Shoot me up until we can work it in," because I'm going on a sheep hunt in August. So if you just have to shoot me up till then, just shoot me up. But we're gonna get that done. But I come in with this, and I'm like, "God, I don't understand this." Because I've been a man of faith, and I have proclaimed what your word says. I proclaimed your goodness. I proclaimed your healing in my life. I feel like I've received your healing in my life, and now all of a sudden I'm not experiencing and not walking in it. And you come into a place to where you're like, "What's going on?" You know what it is? It's body blows. It's body blows. And the Lord, we've had a lot of conversation about this in the last few weeks and all of that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not in a place to where I am discouraged or a place where I'm wavering in my faith or anything like that. And I'll tell you why. It's because I have sown enough seeds in my history with God that I can feed off of that harvest. I've sown enough seeds in my history with God. I have experienced in my history with God with His goodness and the effectiveness of my prayers and received His miracles and received His abundance and received His fullness, that I don't understand this and I don't understand that. Lord had me praying for Callie and her husband this morning. I don't understand that, but it does not change how I feel about God, nor does it change who He is. And the reason that I do not waver in that is because through the years I have steadily sown seeds of faith, sown seeds of hope, and sown seeds of trust in Him. And I've seen it bring a harvest, and I've seen it bring a harvest, and I've seen it bring a harvest. And I felt like the Lord really wanted me to come in and share that with you guys this morning, because I believe that 2020, we're going to look at two things here that I think is going to be significant. In 2020, I want you to come in. God wants you to come in. And He wants you to sow seeds of faith, sow seeds of hope, sow seeds of trust. When things are going good in your life, when you're seeing His hand moving mightily, when you feel the baby growing in the womb, and you're excited about that, and you say, "Man, this is awesome. This is an answered prayer." A little bit delayed, but it's an answered prayer. And so excited about that. So you sow those seeds of faith, and you sow those seeds of trust. You sow those seeds of absolute hope in Him. Because when the body blows come later on, you've got something to feed off of, and you've got something to lean on. And that's the thing. That is the thing that will sustain you. I know our life's not supposed to be about seasons. I understand that the tree that's planted by the waters, its leaf never, it stays green. It bears fruit year round. I understand that. But the reality is there are some seasons where the cold north wind's gonna blow on you. Doesn't mean it's gonna rob you of your leaf. Doesn't mean it's gonna rob you. Right now, I stand up here in a place for the last 4 or 5 weeks. I've had a lot of conversations with God. Not negative conversations with God. Very healthy conversations with God. But I can still stand up here in full confidence and minister this morning, Randy. And it's because of all of these years of history of sowing, The Word talks about it. It says, whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. So if we sow faith, what are we going to reap? If we sow hope, what are we going to reap? If we sow trust, what are we going to reap? Trust. And it also says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. So I want you this year to come in, and I want you to sow as much seed as you can possibly sow this year when you're in these times. And if you're in a time when you're taking a body blow and all of that, then you will be able to withstand those things because of all the seeds that you have sown in the history of your walk with God. You say, man, I'm new in this. I'm about to cover something on that in the scripture in just a second. This week, out in Utah, we stay in it's Heber Valley, it's Midway, it's where we stay, it's where they did the, cross-country aspects of the Olympics, and it's still a little bit of an agrarian, community right outside of Park City. In the fact that they still have these little, horse farms and stuff. There's a lot of little horse farms, that's why I like staying out in there, because you feel a little bit rural. And, there's some little alfalfa fields that are around. And we drive by one alfalfa field, and they've got the pivot out there where they irrigate them in the summer and all that. And every day, every morning and every evening, I watched a herd of mule deer in that alfalfa field. Every time we came by, there was a little herd of mule deer out there. And we'd look at them, man, we'd watch them, and there was a buck that was out there about every day. And, you know, of course, I'm checking him out. I didn't have my binoculars. I'm about wrecking and stopping and all of this stuff and everything. But the reason that the deer were in the alfalfa field, now, we got 12 inches of snow one day. So this field's covered with at least a foot of snow. But every day, every morning and every evening, the deer were out there in the field, and you know what they were doing? They were feeding. They were pushing through the snow, and they were eating the alfalfa that grew when? Last summer. Nothing's growing right now. It's socked in. Nothing is growing whatsoever. But the deer were fat. The deer were healthy, and the deer were out there consistently feeding on what grew last summer. Now, if the farmer had not planted alfalfa, they would have had nothing to feed on. But because it was an alfalfa field, and they cut it the last cutting, and there still remained a stubble of alfalfa that was too short for the blades to get. And that's what the deer were feeding on. Every morning, every night, they're out there like clockwork. I mean, you could have set up and smoked them all you wanted to. You know, it was like clockwork because there was something that they could feed on that had been planted earlier in the season. Y'all get what I'm saying in this? So, this year when you're in summer, plant. When you're in abundance, plant. When you're in blessing, plant. When you're in a place of the nearness of God, plant. And it will sustain you when you're in a place of not knowing. It will sustain you when you're in a place of confusion. It will sustain you when you're in a place of uncertainty, because that uncertainty will happen. I promise you, it will happen in life. Some of you may lose some loved ones this year. And the way you will sustain that is if you have planted in the seasons of the nearness of God. Not that he can't be near in those times, he will be near in those times. I'm not throwing out a mixed theology here to you. I'm simply saying the things that are sustaining me right now in my life. And I'll tell you, I'm not lean, I'm not hurting, I'm not in a place of despair. And the reason that I'm healthy, just like these mule deer, even though that stuff wasn't sprouting right then, they were eating off of what had been previously planted. And so I want you guys to get that. Because a lot of times when we don't have that, that's when the famine gets us. We could talk about Joseph right here. We could come in and we could talk about that and the dream that he had. But I want to come in and I want to address this from a little bit of a different angle. Everybody turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. Have I already asked y'all to turn there? 2 Kings chapter 4. Y'all flip over real quick. Some scripture the Lord carried me to concerning this. Can anybody relate? Does anybody ever get in a place where you're like, God, what's up with this? I know you guys been there. We've been walking through that for a few years now. God, I don't understand this. I'm not saying you caused anything. I'm not saying he caused this. That's just a sin curse that we live in. But God, you're certainly able to fix this. You're certainly, you didn't cause Olive to die, but you're certainly able to resurrect her. So, why not? And it's not challenging God. God's not offended by honest conversations with him. A lot of people are afraid they're going to make God mad and say that he's, you know, capricious or something. That he's fickle. And I got to catch him in a good mood. He just wants real relationship with us, guys. And so we come in with this scripture in chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Elisha is the prophet at this time. Elijah has gone on to be with the Lord. And Elisha is the prophet in his stead. And in verse 1 it said, I'm reading out of the King James. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. There was a school of prophets at the time of Elijah and Elisha. And they would raise up, I guess the closest thing we could relate it to would be a seminary school. Ministry school. And so these guys were in the school of the prophets, and they were going in, and they were trusting in Yahweh, and they were in relationship with Yahweh. They felt a calling on their lives. And so they came in, and they followed the teaching of Elisha and the instruction of Elijah. They committed themselves to the Lord. And this one woman came, and her husband was in the school of the prophets. And she comes to Elijah and she said, "Thy servant, my husband's dead." She said, "My husband died. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So now look at this picture here. She's coming to Elijah and she says, "I don't understand. We've just had this tragedy happen in our life. My husband trusted in God." How many of y'all trusted in God for something and you feel like you got let down? Anybody but me? I'm just being real. I'm like, "God, what's up with that?" I'm not mad, I'm just confused. And she came in and she said, "My husband was one of your servants in the school of the prophets and he's dead. And I've got two sons. And because of the debt that we have, the creditor is going to come and he's going to take my two sons to be servants." And that's what you did in that time. If you owed a debt, you know what you would do? They would come and they would take your son and he would serve a certain amount of time. Nick, as a history teacher, would tell you that a lot of the immigrants that came to the United States and during the Great Immigration, they would come in and by their passage and coming over, the price that they paid, they would have to come in and serve a season of indebtitude, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, that we had to serve to pay off our debt. And then we were free men. And the creditor was about to come and take the one thing that she had left was two sons. And she said that the creditor is about to come take them. And she's like, "Man, this is confusing to me. This is painful to me. I've just lost my husband and I don't want to lose my sons. And then what am I going to do? Because I'm going to be a widow woman that has no sons to provide for her. And I'm in a total point of despair." She said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" He said, "What can I do for you? Tell me, what is in your house?" He said, "What's in your house? What do you have?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She said, "All I've got is a pot of oil. Doesn't seem like much. It did have value, but if you don't add other things to it, then it can't sustain you. If you don't add other things to it, it can't sustain you. If you have no food to add to it, it cannot sustain you. It has no sustaining power in itself, and it's small." And so he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So you get this picture. He said, "Go and borrow all the vessels you can, all of the pots, all of the containers that you can, from all of your neighbors. Everybody that you're in community with, you go and you borrow vessels from them. Because you don't have enough within yourself." I'm going somewhere significant with this. You don't have enough within yourself. So you go to the people that you're in community with and you borrow these vessels and then you bring them in and you start pouring the oil. That little bit that you do have, you start pouring it into these vessels. And so she did. She sent her sons out. They borrowed all the pots. I don't know if they borrowed all they could, but they borrowed a lot of pots, and they brought them in. And she did as the prophet said, and she began to pour the oil. And the beautiful thing about this was the oil was ever increasing because it filled every one of the vessels. The little bit that she had, God multiplied it, and she filled all of the vessels. Your faith, even though it may seem small, it can multiply and it can grow when it is being poured out into things that other people have brought into your life. The reason that I'm able to flourish in this season of not complete understanding on some things is because I said a while ago, I have sown heavily for years and years and years. And some of you may be coming in here today and you may say, I'm new in the faith. And I have not spent the last 30 years sowing like you have, Brother Sid. I'm new in the faith. I don't come from a good Christian family like you. Maybe I've been struggling. Maybe I had some years that I was kind of nomadic and just did not have roots in kingdom life that I should have and all that. So I don't have this. I don't have that alfalfa crop that got planted last summer. That's where this woman was. She was left in a place of body blows from the enemy. And she did not have enough stored up to sustain her. So you know what he did? You know what the prophet did? He said, go borrow vessels from your community. And this year, if you're in a place to where you say, I do not have all of these, so my storehouses aren't full from my past history with God, because I don't have a history with God. But I want to tell you something. God is surrounding you and God is connecting you with people that do have a history with God. God is surrounding you and God is connecting you with people that do have vessels that you can borrow. And they can release their faith. They can give you their... Your faith is a vessel. Your hope is a vessel. Your trust is a vessel. Your confidence in God is a vessel. And that's something that God has given you to release into other people's, the community of people that are around you, to release into their life. And they may be weak, they may be hurting, they may be troubled, they may be in a place of despair, but you have something you can release into them. And he said, borrow the vessels. He didn't say tell them to give them to you. He said, just borrow them. Because once they're full and you sell the oil, then you don't need it and I can loan it to someone else. You see what I'm saying in this? And you may be here today and you may be new in the faith. You may be not have all of these years. You may be going through a rough season. I've been through some of those seasons in my life. You may be going through a rough season and you say, I don't have this summer's alfalfa crop to feed on, Sid. God is surrounded. I promise you, He has surrounded you with people. And they can release a vessel of faith into you. They can release a trust into you. They can release hope into you. And as they do that, then you pour in what little measure you have. And you know what? God will begin to multiply it. That's our role as a community. That's our role as a community of believers. That's why God interconnected us. That's why we're not out there on our own doing God by ourselves. It would have been sad if she said, I don't know any of my neighbors, so I can't borrow anything from any of them. But because she had done life with Robin. Because she had done life with these people. She went and she said, can I borrow a pot? And she brought it back. And God increased it and God multiplied it. So I want to address two sides of this. Number one, if you don't feel like you've got that alfalfa field that I've been talking about, if you don't feel like you've got that storehouse in your life because you've been sowing so heavily, if you don't feel like you have that, then lean on somebody else when you're in this time. If you get a body blow from the enemy, lean on somebody. Lean on somebody. Lean on somebody. Lean on somebody, guys. Lean on somebody. I need to borrow faith from you. I need to borrow faith from you. I need to borrow hope from you. I need to borrow consistency from you. That's one thing that I want to really, really strive for in my life is I want to be so consistent that it's not a question that if I don't see anybody for 5 years and they come see me, it'll never be a question. Are you still preaching? Are you still chasing after God? Are you still a kingdom man? Or, you know, a lot of times I'll see people and I'm almost afraid to ask what their family, cause I'm, you know, their family situation about, cause I don't know if they're, you know, divorced. I don't want to say, hey, how's so and so that they were married to 15 years ago? Cause odds are half of them are not going to be married to that same person. You know what I'm talking about? But I want to be this consistent guy that if they see me, they can automatically say, man, how's Lo doing? How are the kids? How's church? And I want to model that consistency. And when we struggle in these areas of consistency, you know what I want to do? I want to be able to loan that into your life. Come into that. It's always going to be a place of us being kingdom people. And us being generous. And us, we deflect a lot of it to CCC. Now, and by design. But we get inundated with people coming in. And we're a little bitty church. We're a small church. I mean, look, we're not many people. I don't care how big we are. I do care how powerful we are. I don't care how big we are, but I do care how powerful we are. But we get inundated with people coming and with need and all that. You know why? Because we've had the reputation of being a giving church. We'll have a lot of the big churches in town. You can ask Jeffrey, can verify this, and Ariel can too. We have a lot of the big churches in town will send people to us. Say, we can't help it, but go to Victory Fellowship. Churches that are 3, 4, 5 times our size. They say, we can't help you. Sorry, we don't have it in our budget, but go see Victory Fellowship. They'll help you. And I like having that reputation. And I want to be consistent in that. And I want us to be a people that when there are those that are around us that are getting the body blows from the world and the body blows from the enemy, And they're staggering and they're hurting, that we can come in and we say, here's some faith that I can loan you. Lean on me. Here's some hope I can loan you. Lean on me. Here's some resources I can loan you. Lean on me. And that's what Elisha told this woman about the pots. And then all you have to do in your role, here's the thing. I want to encourage both sides of this stick, because at different points we'll be on both sides of the stick. If you're in a place to where you say, man, I have got vessels to spare, don't worry about them running out. Because Elisha told the woman, he said, go borrow the pots. And when I give it, I'm going to get it back. When I give it from the Lord, I'm going to get it back. You say, I'm going to recoup my money, God's going to redeem my money. I'm going to recoup my time, God's going to redeem my time. I'm going to recoup my faith. God's going to redeem my faith. So don't worry about saying, I don't have that to give. 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 All right? This morning we talked about do the right thing. You said that's y'all's mantra at Kelton Wrestling. Just do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And so he came in and he told her, he said, go and borrow from all your neighbors. And so she brought in a lot of them. And the flip side of that, on the other end of the spectrum, the other end of the stick, is he said, borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. Don't be afraid. Here's the thing, though. You've got to have a community of kingdom people that God's planted you in. It's essential. To have a community of kingdom people that God's planted you in. Because when God plants you in a community of kingdom people, then the availability of pots to borrow, if you will, you know what I'm saying in that, becomes larger. And he said, borrow not a few. And so she went out and her sons borrowed pots. A lot of times we'll go to one person, Ambry, and we'll say, well, I'll talk to that one person. And I'm not saying that, man, you just broadcast it. I'm talking about you lean on people that you're in covenant with. You lean on people that you're in community with. And a lot of times we'll try to come in and we'll try to deal with everything on our own, or we'll try to deal with just one thing. And we're afraid to be honest, and we're afraid to be vulnerable to God. We're afraid to be honest and vulnerable with each other because we think that makes us look bad. I could come in and say, man, I'm struggling in this and this and this. And I could worry, well, what are the people going to think? What's somebody going to think if they listen to this podcast? No, I'm a real human and I've got real issues. And we all have real struggles in life. That's the reality of it, guys. This isn't a theory thing. This is a real life thing. And you're going to take body blows from the enemy. And you know what I want? I want a large community of people that I can lean on in those times if I don't have a storehouse for myself. Now, in this scripture right here, I find it very interesting. I'm going to bring out 2 points, just a little bit of teaching to you, because these are really good. He said, borrow not a few in verse 3. And then he said, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stopped. The amount of oil that you receive is going to be determined by how many vessels that you have. And if you want to do small, closed community, small amount of resources. If you're going to do it by yourself, you're narrowing it down. If you're afraid to reach out and pull off of other people's experiences and pull off of other people's faith, I want to draw from your faith. I want to draw from your faith, Linda Carter. I want to draw off of these things. I want to draw off your consistency. Your consistency helps fuel my consistency. James, y'all made me, I felt really good this morning. I pulled over the railroad tracks and I saw James' truck and I'm like, yeah. Because James didn't know if they were going to be back or not, because they've been in Key West for the last week or so, down in the Keys. He said, I don't know if we're going to be back on Sunday or not. We may be traveling and all of that stuff. And I pulled up and I saw him back and I was like, yes. And y'all could have been easy for y'all to stay another day, another half day, and come rolling in this afternoon. But I know y'all feel a sense of calling and a sense of responsibility in the house, and a sense of we're helping lead other people in this journey of faith, not just in worship, but this journey of faith. We landed about 11:30 last night. I got in bed at 1:30 this morning. It would have been real easy for me to catch an 8 a.m. flight today and come in. But I felt this need of community to be here and to release what God's saying for us in 2020, I feel like. And I'm not hating on you if you miss something. I'm simply saying let's be this community for each other. Let's be the vessels for each other. That I want to be if Randy comes in and Randy's like, man, I'm in a place right now that I can release faith into him. I can release hope into him. I can release trust into him. And so this is what happens with this lady. She comes up and she said, are there any more vessels? And they say, no, that's it. And then the oil supernaturally stopped, just as it had supernaturally flowed. And so I really want us to get this for this year. I feel like this is one of the words from the Lord for us this year. Twofold in this is number one. Actually, it's threefold. Number one, sow super, super heavy this year. So heavy, heavy, heavy. Heavy. Y'all are going to find this almost humorous, but you know what the Lord told me? He said in 2020, he said, I want you to be more passionate. And I said, Lord, I'm about the most passionate person I've ever met. He said, but I want you to be even more passionate. I want you to totally give yourself to every moment this year. And I want you to be super, super, super passionate about life and everything about life. You know what one of the highlights of my ski trip was this year? I think the Lord would probably say yes. One of the highlights of my ski trip this year was playing Uno with Caroline when we were sick one day, and I did not go skiing, which is shocking. I was running a fever, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay. Caroline was sick. Me and Lori said, y'all, we'll take one of the team. Y'all go, and we'll stay home. And me and Lori sat at the kitchen table, and we played Uno with Caroline for probably 2 or 3 hours. And she absolutely loved it. And you know what? I don't do that much because I'm too busy. I'm too busy doing life that I'll sit down with one-on-one with my granddaughter and play Uno with her, undistracted, not checking my emails in between hands, not looking out the window and seeing it snow and say, daggone, I'm missing it because I'm not feeling good and I should be out there skiing and all that stuff. But I totally gave myself to it. And the Lord challenged me. He said, I want you to be more passionate this year. I want you to be more passionate this year. And you know what I'm going to do in being passionate? I'm really sowing seeds into things. I'm sowing seeds into things. And so this year, let's sow seeds like crazy so that there's a harvest. Not only to sustain ourselves, but to sustain the others that are around us. Because there's some people that's going to take some body blows this year. The reality. Reality. We've probably got a couple hundred people that come to this church, and the reality is that somebody's going to take some body blows this year. It may be something as simple as this, and this is not a big deal, all right? I'm not lamenting this and whining about this. This is not a big deal. This is a medical procedure, okay? There are people going to bed hungry tonight. That's a big deal. This is not a big deal. So don't think I'm up here whining. I'm not. It's cut and dry. We're going to get it done. I'm just trying to be honest and vulnerable with you guys. A lot of times we try to make our big thing, you know, we're going to put it on the Eliza, you know, watch list and all because I got a head cold or something like that. No, this is not a big deal. But there will be people that will take body blows this year. And so I want to sow so heavy that there's a harvest for them. And as we were talking about the other end of that, if you do not have that history with God and you don't have these years of sowing and all that, then look for the community around you. Look for the community that God has placed you in and let them lean into you as you lean into them. And watch God do great things in that. Because you'll find peace and you'll find hope and you'll find love and you'll find joy. Every one of y'all that have gone through stuff this past year, y'all, I see it, and Lori does it a lot more than I do, you know, because she does the social media and all that, but the group text and all this stuff. And I know with Aaliyah and Errol and their community with a lot of you guys and all of that stuff, I see y'all leaning in on each other on stuff. And God said, do that even more so in 2020. And what it's going to do, it's going to build such a foundation in us. It's going to be grow such a deep thing in us that we'll be unshakable. We'll be unmovable. We'll be unwavering. We'll be consistent. All right? Amen. Y'all stand to your feet.
I just want to... I started to do it before praise and worship, but I'm glad I didn't because I didn't even know what Sydney's sermon was going to be. But we, all the five grandkids, we kids, it's like a covey of quail. You know, Michaela, we have to, and Hannah, we have to round all these little children up, and they each have their own little personalities. They're all so cute. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the personality. So when I tell you about Sydney Hannah, you'll know I'm not looking at it with rose-colored glasses. So we have Eden and Kennedy, and with them, when we asked how was it for 2 hours, like, well, Kennedy only hit one time, so it was really a great day, right, Michaela? If Kennedy only hits you once, then it's been a pretty good day. You know, I got so tickled with Hannah one time that was in the pool, and Kennedy gets this look, and we're all like, run! Run, she's about to hit somebody, run from Kennedy. And Eden is verbal. She will cut you with her words or with her eyes, one or the other. Because that little 3-4-year-old, she's got the looks going on, you know. And then Zealand, our precious little Zealand. I've never had a boy before, so this is like such a great challenge. And we've had his hearing checked when he was 2, because we were sure the boy can't hear. And even the other day, Brett's saying, I think we got to have his hearing checked again. He's not hearing. It's like you'll tell him something 5 times, and then when you yell at him, he looks at him, he's like, why are you yelling at me? So we don't know if it's selective hearing or the man hearing or what he's got going on. And Caroline, you know, all her little different things. But then we have Sydney Hannah, and I'm telling you, Sydney Hannah, really, she's the oldest. She's the peacemaker. You know, she's going to come in, and she's going to tie their shoes, and she's going to make sure they're happy, and she's going to do all these little things, and she doesn't have a mean bone in her. So yesterday morning when Zealand comes down the steps and he's crying, and he goes, what's wrong? Well, Sydney Hannah slapped me hard. I'm going to sit down here this because this is going to be good. Because I have a feeling it's going to backfire on the little man. So Suddenly Hannah comes down the stairs. Why'd you hit Zealand? I don't know. Michaela might tell. I may be messing up. Michaela might have been there. She might be different. But she said, we kept telling Zealand to stop a bunch of times, and he didn't. So I hit him. So he thought, Sydney Hannah's going to get in trouble. But little booger got, both of them got in trouble, okay? They both got in trouble. And God said, you know what? Some of us is like Sydney Hannah. We've been taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it this year. We've had some hard blows come on us. Some unexpected twist in the year, right? And sometimes we sit back and say, God, why don't you do this? Why don't you take care of this? And he told me, he said, to tell you, I've given you the tools to fight back. It's not always up to me to fight. I'm in you to fight through you. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, I'm not endorsing Sydney Hannah slapping Zealand, but a part of me was like, it's about time. It's about time she took up for herself. And she got in trouble, but in the background going, yeah. She's not going to let people just run over all the time and always do all these things, right? But I also want you to know, if this year, if you do take those lumps, lean on others. Lean on your community. Go borrow those vessels. But also put on your whole armor of God yourself. Put it on. God has given us everything we have to go into the new year. He's given us everything we're going to have. He's given us the equipment to face it and to fight it. Amen. Amen. That's all I have. Amen.
Amen. That's a good word. Good word. Y'all stand to your feet. Did this morning resonate with anybody? It's just real life. It's where we are. You wouldn't have made it through this year without both of those things. The seeds that you've sown in your walk with God and leaning on others. So sometimes it's a combination of the two. So it's so important to sow, not just for yourself, but for the community around you. The farmer grew the alfalfa for his horses, but the mule deer were living off of it. So man, just look to the Lord, but lean on each other. All right? Amen. James, did y'all have one more song that y'all had ready for this morning? Goodness of God. Can y'all come up? Linda, can y'all come up? I'm gonna step out of the way so I'm not coughing on you. If you want to take communion this morning, there are those elements. I encourage you to do so. I take communion every time I'm in this house. It's just significant to me. And I think this is our anthem, because this is our declaration of our history with God. So let's, if you need to come down, if you've taken some body blows, if you're in the middle of body blows right now and you feel like you're kind of hanging on the ropes, grab somebody and come down and get somebody to come pray with you. Just to release faith into you, to release hope, release trust into you, okay? Me and Lori might not be the best two, but there's a lot of other folks that are probably uncontaminated. Grab them and just, I'm serious. If you feel like you are taking body blows, me and Lori lean on each other a lot. We have these conversations with each other. But if you're in the middle of body blows right now, get somebody, man, and come to the altar and lean on somebody. And let them release faith into you. Let them release hope into you. Let them release trust into you. And, man, let's look to Him, but let's look to each other as well. Go ahead, guys. Let this be our declaration. We're going to finish with worship.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my day, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake, till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'll sing that again. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no others. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Sing that again. I love your voice. I love your voice. And you have led me through the fire. In darkest nights you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God
all my life.
In all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life, let's sing again.
In all my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, I will sing
of the goodness of running after me. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me.
Declare His peace over you, His peace over your life, His peace over your home. And man, y'all just go in that blessed hope. One thing that I find great comfort in is I remember back in the day when God Chasers came out, and it was a big thing, man. We're just chasing after God, we're chasing after God, we're chasing after God. And then I finally got the understanding that in reality, He's chasing after me way harder than I've ever chased after Him. And I tell people now, I said, it would have been sacrilegious back in the day. I said, man, don't chase after Him, just let Him catch you. Just be still and let Him catch you. And then you start this journey together. That's when it's right. So just let Him catch you today. Let Him catch you this week. He'll surprise you. Let Him catch you. Amanda, let Him catch you in those unexpected moments. And you might get your world rocked by a Uno game with somebody. You might get your world rocked by an Uno game. Just let God catch you in those beautiful moments. I love you guys. We'll see y'all Wednesday night. Y'all have a blessed week and a great start to 2020.